I have no financial relationships to disclose. And thanks everyone for coming all the way over to the Hyatt and finding us in the sub-basement area. So I'll be talking to you today about using electronic health records and their role in trying to eliminate health disparities in HIV testing. One of my colleagues is in the room, Michelle Del Toro, and the other two colleagues are back in Cleveland, Peter Greco and David Kelber. As I said, I have no disclosures. So the objectives of this session are to assess the disparity in HIV testing using our electronic medical record data, evaluate the benefits of an intervention that's based in the electronic medical record, and to develop a structural EMR-based intervention to address health disparities. Just a bit of background, because I don't expect that all of you are infectious disease experts or even all that familiar with current statistics in HIV. It's estimated in the United States that about 0.5% of people are living are positive, and about 1 to 1.2 million people are living with HIV. Men are much more likely to be infected, with 3/4 of the epidemic being seen in men, and 25% in women. The prevalence of HIV is not consistent across race and ethnicity either. We actually see a higher prevalence in non-Hispanic Black adults and other minorities. So the reason that we care about HIV testing now is this change. HIV testing is not a death sentence anymore. As of 1997, combination HIV medication has dramatically changed the outcome and life expectancy for someone living with HIV. And so you can see here in 97 that suddenly people started to live longer and mortality went down. And that's right at the time when combination therapy was introduced. Another reason why routine testing and knowing your status is important is that 1/4 of the people living with HIV in the United States are felt to not know they have it. So 1/4 of the population that is infected is unaware. Yet that 20 or 25% accounts for more than 50% of new infections, whereas those that are aware of their infection are much less likely to transmit it to their partners. So with that background, those are two main reasons that in 2006, CDC made new recommendations for HIV testing and said routinely everyone should be tested once in their lifetime. And everyone means everyone 13 to 64. The next three bullets are standard, and those did not change in the 2006 guidelines. Those were in previous 2001 guidelines. So we started in 2007. I had a medical student who was interested in helping me launch an initiative to address routine testing and improve routine testing in our health system. So we started by looking at our records in our health system. MetroHealth is the primary provider of indigent care in the Cuyahoga County, Cleveland area, and we are also one of the largest providers of HIV care under Ryan White. So we looked at people who were newly diagnosed in the six-year time period that we were between 2002 and 2007, and found that most people had been seen somewhere in the health system in the year prior and hadn't been tested. So we thought that it was certainly justified to routinely test people coming into the health system because there were a number of examples of missed opportunities. Particularly striking were the people who had multiple clinic visits and never HIV testing was never considered. So then we looked at the numbers by year, and we were really excited. We saw that testing, and this is straight from our lab data, and this is one of my points I think that's important about data. So coming from the lab, the numbers were going up of people tested each year. Like, fabulous, we're already on the road to success here. But then when we actually looked at newly diagnosed cases during that time, it went down. And we didn't have a good explanation why. So, and at this point, when we first did this, we didn't really make much of it because it was all very aggregate. We were looking at where people were tested, and testing was primarily occurring in the prenatal setting or family medicine, and a lot in women. So here's a map of Cleveland. Again, dating back to that time period, 2006-2007, the red star is where our hospital is, which is in one of the areas of highest incident cases. And we thought it would be prudent to select health centers in their community that serve the community in areas that were also in high incident areas. So the next phase of what we wanted to do with getting people routinely tested was to increase testing in routine care in the primary care settings. And so in those five health centers and in our hospital, we started to work with the primary care providers, pediatrics, internal medicine, family medicine, and OBGYN to integrate HIV testing into their workflow. So all of you probably are familiar with the idea of a missed opportunity, and that's where, for us, it was an encounter with a healthcare provider for any reason, where regardless of what the risk factor of the individual was, an HIV test had not been performed and had never been performed. Now, we use within our healthcare system, our electronic medical record dates back to 1999. So in 2007, you had about a decade of time where you could have been tested. So if you got tested before 99 or in another system, we counted you as never being, as not having been tested. We now have the ability to do some data sharing in other systems in our area, but not at the time of this analysis. So we use the electronic record for a better evaluation. In 2009, we looked at 2008 and 2009 encounters for primary care visits to those five health centers in the main campus, and we actually got raw data from the electronic record of if the person was 13 to 64, they were not HIV previously diagnosed, were they tested on that encounter, what was their test result, when had they been previously tested, what was the test result for that, and their demographics. And what we found was that a lot of people had never been tested in the 10 years prior. Only a third of people actually knew their status. Almost 2% that were tested got retested, and another 2% got their status. So it kind of made sense suddenly that the reason our positivity had gone down over the preceding 6 years is we think there was a lot of retesting accounting for that increase in number. And we were capturing very few people who had never been tested. And in fact, a third of individuals, or a third of encounters, were people who came in, left, never got tested. We've taken this down to the individual level, and there's no significant difference between individuals and encounters. Encounters are just much easier to handle. when we actually broke down the data by demographics, the striking finding was between men and women. Now remember, men account for 3/4 of the epidemic, and minority men account for even more of that epidemic. And what we found is most age groups of men had never been tested, 80 to 90%, regardless of their age group. Women, on the other hand, had been tested, and by gross analysis, they looked pretty good. And then when we actually drilled down to the age categories, we found that really older women also had never been tested, and it may be that their pregnancies were at a different healthcare system, they were pre-1999, but only the women between 20 and 39 had over 50% who had been tested in the past. So we thought there is a real disparity in testing, so we're not testing the people who have the disease in our community. We did see some race disparities, but it was really much greater in the gender disparity than it was in the race. Of note, 84% of our African American men, the population that has the highest prevalence in our community, 84% had never been tested. Again, newly diagnosed individuals, the majority had never been tested previously, yet they had had encounters. So we worked with the healthcare providers to provide education, training. They said, yeah, we think this is great, but it's really hard to do. And we encouraged them to make HIV testing part of their routine flow, which, again, smoking cessation, exercise, diet, wear a helmet while you're riding a bicycle, you know, throw in an HIV test in there, and the providers in primary care are quite busy. So one of the benefits of routine testing is they don't have to ask about risk, and that encourages people to get tested despite a perceived or lack of perceived risk, because if you are a sexual being at this point, you should get a test done. And so we found that it actually would help, and providers liked that approach, but they felt that there would be, you know, there still are barriers to remembering and reminders. So in working with the providers, they encourage this selection to modify our health maintenance list to include HIV testing once. And the way it works, I'll show it to you in a second, but it helps to remind somebody that a person's never been tested. The area of the chart that I'll show you in a second is an area that is already used for quality improvement and part of a primary care provider's workflow. We went live with this intervention in July of 2010, so we've had now over a year of it, and coming soon is that we've done a similar modification on inpatient, but the analysis is actually coming soon, not the intervention. We modified our education to also work on the communication skills needed to get somebody tested and give them their results, because that's what we really saw was an issue. People were nervous about that. They didn't know what to say, how to do it, where to go, and we gave them some very quick strategies to make that an easier process, as well as introduce this this reminder so that they would be aware that it was going into place, and then an update on our revised code on testing requirements. So this is a screenshot of our electronic medical record. For those of you who are providers and use Epic, you may recognize it. This is not a HIPAA violation. Adult male MH test is a fake person. But this is a screenshot that you, or this is what you would see when you open up a patient's chart to start to have a visit with them. And that little red dot up, or thing up there is the health maintenance reminder. When it's there and it's red, there's something due. If it's all up to date, it just disappears, and you can see it, but it won't be up at that top panel. And that stays at the top panel throughout the entire time you're seeing a patient. So this is what it would look like when you click on it, pre-intervention. And this person has also had a number of modifiers added to their health maintenance list. So they have diabetes, they've got cirrhosis, so they have a number of additional reminders too. Be done, and the ones that are completed, you'll see it's got a date satisfied, and the ones that either need to be done again or are due would actually have an arrow next to it. So you can see adult Bill test has never been tested because he has a unresolved health maintenance listing. This area we can also see in the snapshot view, the same area. And this is helpful because the nurses use this. So when we look at workflows and using the electronic record and workflows, it's helpful that they can see it in a quick, easy review of patients. So there is a typo on this. I mislabeled the columns. So the yellow or goldish yellow bars are new testers or first-time testers, and the bottom bar are retesters. So at the time of the intervention, the week following, testing doubled. Now remember, the providers already used this area, so as soon as it went on, they started to go ahead and test, and it was fabulous. And so what you can see is that the people who have never been tested before and now got tested on their encounter, they dramatically increased in numbers. We looked at the inpatients, and in the inpatient testing, it didn't really change, which is what we expected because we didn't design this for the inpatient providers, although it could be used, like I said, on that snapshot screen, it hasn't been incorporated in workflow. So when we look at disparities and addressing the health disparity and those first-time testers, what you can see here is that across the bottom, these are African-American women, these are Hispanic women, these are Caucasian women, and these are all women, and the arrows where the intervention went into place. And you can see that in 2010, the first two quarters, there was very little change in the number of missed opportunities, so people who had never been tested. But as time went on, the percent of women who have never been tested has dramatically decreased, and it's continued to decrease each quarter, suggesting that we're making progress. And men had an even greater improvement. Again, you can see that African-American men in this first grouping, Hispanic men in next, Caucasian men in the final, and then total men. And there is a slight decline in Caucasian men, but pre-intervention, and slight decline in the other two, but nothing like what we saw after the intervention. So we feel like this intervention really helped providers get that routine testing accomplished. When we looked at the age groups, you can see that the younger women really had no dramatic change in testing. They were already getting tested, but the older women had improvement in every age group, and the men had improvement in every age group. We continue to find new diagnoses, and the positivity or the number of positive cases per test completed remain stable. It's not a ton of new cases, but it's more than we were seeing before in the outpatient setting. What was interesting is it became much more, we identified many more men than we were used to in the outpatient setting, again, because the men were getting tested. We did not see an increase in the rates of falsely positive tests during the time period either, which is all, so both were reassuring to the providers. So in conclusion, I think that our EHR-based reminder increased HIV testing among those who had never were not otherwise getting tested and had never been tested. Establishing the evaluation before the intervention improved our understanding of what the issue was and how to best address it. And by incorporating the reminder into the existing workflow of the clinical staff, it really facilitated its utilization and uptake, and I think is why it was successful in such so immediately. So if you haven't been tested, please go get an HIV test. I want to thank my colleagues and our funder from the AIDS Funding Collaborative, which is a local collaborative in Cleveland.